on another, Hammond said after reviewing the documents. This is just precious. The notion was that a chemical that would probably be pleasant in the human body in low quantities could be identified, and by virtue of either breathing or having their skin exposed to the chemical, the notion was that soldiers would become gay. So I guess the defense for this would be gaydar, wouldn't it?
This is the Quality News Network. Having completely taken control of the Gaza Strip, Hamas today announced it will give amnesty to rival Fatah leadership. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has dissolved the three-month unity government and declared a state of emergency. On Capitol Hill, Senate leaders from both parties say they'll attempt again to breathe life into the moribund immigration bill. Negotiations on the controversial legislation could begin as early as next week. A vote is expected before July 4th. The Justice Department has launched an investigation into whether its chief, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, illegally tried to influence the sworn testimony of one of his former aides, Monica Goodling. The aide was subpoenaed by Congress to discuss Gonzalez's role in the firing of 9 federal prosecutors. In Iraq, 5 more U.S. soldiers have been killed since Wednesday, 4 of them in combat. The death of the 5th is under investigation. In southwestern Pakistan, 9 people have been killed, 4 wounded in an ambush this morning near a railway station. The government blames tribal rebels. Tehran has begun expelling some of the 1.5 million Afghani immigrants that have crossed the border into Iran in recent months. As many as 100,000 refugees have been deported. The Afghans are placing an enormous strain on both Iranian and Afghani economies. The U.S. Army will hire 25% more mental health professionals to help soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. More than a third of returning troops seek counseling for post-traumatic stress and other problems. The Bush administration is backing away from a promise to veto a spending bill that increases health care for veterans. In Jackson, Mississippi, a jury has convicted a 71-year-old former Klansman of murdering 2 young black men during the civil rights summer of 1964. James Ford Seal faces life in prison. In New Jersey, the 6 men accused of plotting to injure troops at Fort Dix have pleaded not guilty. The federal judge in the case promised a speedy trial, perhaps by early October. In Massachusetts, a victory for supporters of gay marriage. The legislature defeated a constitutional measure allowing the public to vote on the issue. Massachusetts is the only state in the nation to permit same-sex marriage. Ruth Graham has died in her North Carolina home of complications from pneumonia. She was 87.
To be or not to be.
Proficiency in reading and writing is a crucial connection to higher learning for both youth and adults. Without the foundation of basic English skills, access to education and employment is severely limited, if not impossible, for an estimated 40 million illiterate and semi-literate adults nationwide. If someone you know needs help in learning to read and write, there are local groups that can provide assistance without the threat of embarrassment. The Monterey County Free Library System offers unlimited one-on-one classes meant to help anyone at any proficiency level step over the language barrier. Weekly classes are held at several free library locations across Monterey County at no charge. For more information on Monterey County Free Library's Adult Literacy Program, call 424-3564. This message brought to you by the Quality News Network.
The National Audubon Society says the populations of some of the most common birds in America have been halved in the past 40 years. Meadowlarks, whippoorwills, sparrows, and chickadees, they're all being hurt by climate change and habitat loss. Astronauts today take another spacewalk to repair a damaged thermal blanket on the Atlantis space shuttle. The protective covering was peeled back during the shuttle's launch last week. Children given broad-spectrum antibiotics during infancy have an increased chance of later developing asthma. That's according to a study just released by Canadian researchers. Another recall of Chinese merchandise, this time 1.5 million wooden train toys depicting the children's heroes Thomas and Friends. The toys are covered with toxic lead paint. Government-sponsored Freddie Mac posted a quarterly loss of $211 million, a victim of the housing slump. GM and auto parts maker Delphi are reportedly close to an agreement with United Auto Workers to help Delphi emerge from bankruptcy. GM would offer employees a one-time cash payment in exchange for lower wages. Light sweet crude is trading at $67.05 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is trading at $655.10 an ounce. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Wake up, damn you. Do I have to kick the bed again? Move it. Come on. Get up. Get up. Oh, hi, everybody. I was talking to the cat. How's everybody doing? It is a Friday here in Chicago, as it is pretty much everywhere, I think, except for certain parts of Australia and the nether regions, whatever the hell the nether regions are. Oh, God. How's everybody doing today? Friday, by the way, is named after Freya. Goddess of love. So it's a love Friday. A love Friday. Oh, goodness gracious. I am still kind of waking up from my shift last night. Again, once again, for those of you who are just tuning in to listen to me for the first time, I actually work 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. So you're listening to me when I'm like at the end of my rope energy-wise. I'm just ready to go to sleep. But here I am. And I'm doing the damn show. But basically, dude, your stuff's messed up. You talk like a fag, and you're basically tarted. That was from the movie Idiocracy. That was the diagnosis given to the main character. Although they used different words. So. Yeah, but it's okay, because, you know, my girlfriend's tarted, and she's like a pilot now. We definitely live in an idiocracy to a certain extent. Oh, so many stupid people, so little time. Anyway, I am here, and this is the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I am here every single day. And this is my last day in this time slot, by the way. Starting next week, this time slot will be taken up by Peter Godbolt, who will be discussing gay issues, the homosexual evil agenda, and he's going to go out to convert each and every one of you, but not me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I will be on following him, and then John Fox will be on following me. And maybe that'll help a little, maybe it won't. I don't know. Maybe I'll do is I can go home and I can come home from work and take a little hour nap or so I can actually be awake for the show as opposed to just like. Anyway, let's just get right to this because Friday, and we haven't done this for a while just because it seems like everything's getting in the way. Either something's messed up on my end or something's messed up on her end. And I mean that in the nicest way. But it's Fridays and generally we have. Generally, we have Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com, and she joins us today for the first time. What's it been, over a month or so? Hi, Carol. How you doing?
Are you telling me I'm messed up?
My stuff. Our stuff is messed up.
Yeah, we did get our signals crossed there for a few weeks.
Well,
it was
just a combination of a lot of different things. How have you been? I haven't talked to you in such a long time.
I don't know how you are.
I'm just kind of surviving. The last time we almost had it. We were like seconds away, literally seconds away from being on the air when my table chose that moment to collapse. And it was kind of funny because it was like watching a ship sink slowly because the cardboard boxes were just... So it wasn't just like boom,
Python.
Crash. No, it was...
I'm imagining a Monty Python skit. Joe?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just thinking which Python skit it would be, but yeah. Well, the desk is slowly falling. You know, there was the one where John Cleese was reading the news out, and there were these guys, they took his desk and they put it on a truck and, you know, driving him across the city, and just as he's saying that's the end of the news, they throw him off a pier. Well, we've got so much going on. Listen, I want to ask you this. Before we get into what's been going on, and I know you've got your regular daily MakeThemAccountable.com news items. Let me ask you something, because you've lived in Chicago for a long time. Is this correct?
For 15 years, yeah.
You've been here for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we had a caller yesterday at the end of the show, very nice lady named Dana, I believe, who's been in Chicago for like 54 years. And I asked her if this is a good time or a bad time to be in Chicago, and she said it's a really bad time. And, you know, I've only been here since August, so I have really no clue as good time, bad time. I'm just kind of here. And I was just wanted to get your opinion. You've been here for a while. What do you think the situation in Chicago right now? Is it good or bad?
Bad time in what way?
Well, she talked about rents and, you know, all of the changes going on in the neighborhoods and stuff like that. And we talked about how expensive Cubs tickets were and things like that.
Oh, well, see, I don't do sports, so I wouldn't know about that.
Well, funny though, because the people going to the ball games don't do sports either, apparently, and that's one of my bitches.
Well, you can't afford it anymore.
I'm sorry?
It takes like $100 for a dad to take his son to a Sox game, for example, or to go
to a
Bears game, or so. You know, it just is so expensive. These owners just keep gouging and gouging and gouging, and then there comes a time when people can't do it anymore.
Well, I said it yesterday. It's the yuppie crowd. You know, the yuppies go to the, and they don't really care. They're not like the same kind of baseball fans that, like, you know, when my dad grew up going to Brooklyn Dodgers games at Ebbets Field. You know, really, really hardcore baseball fans who could tell you not just the players, but you could tell their lifetime average, their average for every single year for the last 10 years. You know, I asked the guy the other day who was pitching in the Cubs game. He said, "I don't know." What the hell are you going to the game for? You don't know the pitcher's name? Pitcher's name is who? Who? No, who's on first? Tamara's pitching.
Yeah, I think sports nowadays is more for the elite than for the real fan. I don't know. I find business picking up here, and to me, that's a good thing. You know, or my business is picking up, and that's good. And my neighborhood is fine. I live in the South Loop, which is just, you know, half a mile from the Sears Tower.
Yeah,
and
you live really, really downtown. I'm way up.
Yeah,
as far as you can get without being
booming
out of Chicago.
I mean, they're building condo building after condo building here, and of course we have the Grant Park, which is just a block away, and the lake is 3 blocks away, and we love it here. You know, so. Business was slow there for a while, but that's coming back, and so I don't know. From my perspective, Chicago's a good place to live right now.
Well, everything's kind of sucky for me, mainly because the job, you know, and I really worked hard to get this job because I thought it paid a lot more than it wound up paying, and it's turning out to be only like part-time work, too.
Ugh.
So it's really, really killing me.
Ugh.
You know, I got my paycheck today, which was for 2 weeks' work, and it was $5.25.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest paycheck I've had in the last 2 months. Okay.
Human beings can't live on that kind of money.
I'm not a human being. I'm a liberal. You know.
There you go.
And according to the Bush people, you know, I'm not even human.
You're worse than that. Let me find the quote. Go ahead, and I want to find the quote from one of the right wing nuts. Go ahead. Go on.
Well, actually, while you find that quote, let's go ahead and take our first break here.
Okay.
So that we can make some money, and although none of it comes to me anyway, so I don't know what I'm bothering for. Now, here's our sponsors.
Keep the network.
If anybody wants to give a call in to talk to Carolyn Kay and myself, the number to call in is 304-658-5453. or 1-877-443-2366. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
It's bound to come up. Is this guy qualified to be a gay radio host? Well, my mother made me a homosexual, and if you send her some yarn, she'll make one for you, too!
Well, if I should take an ocean, you'd jump into the ocean.
Hi, I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to Strictly Confidential. The show premieres June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Head-On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty, and you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
You're listening to the Head-On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Becchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, a number to call in is 1-877-443-2366 or 1-304-658-5453. Where the hell was I? Carolyn, you there?
Yeah.
There you go. How you doing?
We were talking about a quote about what the right wing thinks of us.
Right.
Michael the Savage Weiner.
Oh, God, yeah.
He compared the progressive movement to the Nazi stormtroopers who aided Adolf Hitler's rise to power, saying, they are the brown shirts of today. Savage added, make no mistake about it, it's the same rabble that brought Hitler to power, and we have them today, and they're all on the left.
Does that mean I have to take my swastika off the wall?
Well, at least for today you do, yeah. You know, it's just so amazing that they are the ones that have the hateful, vicious right-wingers, you know, that write me nasty notes and I'm sure write you nasty notes and who probably are the ones who threatened this judge that sentenced Libby to 2.5 years and said he can't be out of jail while he's appealing.
Yeah.
He threatened the judge. So here you are thinking, now how stupid is that? You threaten the judge, you put his back up against the wall, what's he going to do? He's going to put the guy in jail. The guy you want to stay out of jail, he's going to put him in jail because of your antics.
Unbelievable.
They are the ones who mau-mau'd the media and, you know, turned them into organs of the Republican Party. Do you know what the term mau-mau means?
Go ahead and explain it.
I don't know if you're old enough, Joe. Back in the 60s, a lot of the black radicals would shake their fists and yell and scream a lot at the media, the, you know, corporations, rich people, whoever, and would scare them into donating to their causes and whatever. And, it was, the author of, it's going to come to me in a minute.
Malcolm X?
No, a white author who wrote about it and called it mau-mauing. He said, mau-mauing the flat catchers and radical chic. It was the series of essays that Tom Wolfe.
Who is now a Bush supporter.
Yeah, I know. I know. He used to be a pretty prescient social observer and commentator, but he seems to have bought into this whole, you know, fear thing. And
I don't know what he's got to be afraid of. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. He can move to a nice, comfortable bunker somewhere if he wants.
There's no understanding a lot of this stuff. Look at I don't know what's the matter with my mind today.
You bring it up, and I just got Al Gore's latest book from the library.
Yes.
And I've been reading it, The Assault on Reason.
Wonderful.
And he talks about the effect that fear is having
exactly.
on us, and how television drives that. And he says with television, because it still stimulates the same neural senses of when we actually see something, a perceived fear can actually be a real fear. In our mind, you know,
right.
In our unconscious mind.
Well, the thing that I learned, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, but I went through a serious depression years ago, and I basically had to come to an understanding of what goes on in my mind and you know, counter a lot of what was going on there. And what I saw was that my brain was lying to me. And you know, that seems to be natural. It runs in my family, depression, lots of suicides in my family. We don't want to get into that. I finally came to the conclusion that my brain was lying to me, that it perceives things that, you know, all this crime that they report on television, and Gore talks about that, it makes people think that their communities are so unsafe when they really are not.
Right.
Are not. Most people do not live in unsafe neighborhoods. Some people do, of course, and we're seeing that in a lot of these shootings of school children in Chicago, and it's pitiful, awful, awful. But I don't have to be afraid in my neighborhood because of what goes on in that neighborhood. I do have a responsibility to do what I can to see that our government fixes that problem. But as far as my neighborhood is concerned, I don't go around expecting. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "Wow, you're such a liberal. What would you do if a rapist walked up to you and tried to attack you?" And I said, "Well, if someone was walking up to me, how would I know that he's a rapist?"
I go out and vote Republican.
That's right. So I had to learn to tell myself, "Oh, okay, that's my brain lying to me, and I'm not going to pay any attention this time, and I'm just going to go on and do what I need to do and get on with my life and so on." And you know what? I'm a whole lot happier. A whole lot happier.
And Bob Kincaid, by the way, in the studio, was reminding us that that the rapists have, or that they're tattooed on the back of their necks.
That the what?
It's tattooed on the back of their neck.
That's
how you know they're rapists.
See,
it's tattooed on the back of their necks.
Toward me, then I won't see it. See?
right next to where the Bishop of Leicester tattooed.
He's got
the money python
sign, or else I'm done for.
Well, you know, I live up here off of Devon Avenue. I want to say it's the classiest neighborhood out there because it's a little dirty, but it's mostly Indians and Pakistanis and stuff like that, and a lot of people who barely speak English, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? I love this neighborhood, and
well,
I have no worries about walking down Devon Avenue any time of night. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't frighten me.
Well, we're a mixed neighborhood. We have every nationality you can think of. And we love that too. And as it turned out, when we first started looking, we lived on the north side at State and Elm, and up near the Gold Coast, not on the Gold Coast, but near it. And we started looking up there, and oh, the prices were so high. We came down here, and the prices were half.
They're lower on the south side.
You know,
the south side has that image, you know.
Hey, if we get a premium for living in a mixed neighborhood, that's okay with me. I love living in a mixed neighborhood. So, I mean, it's just crazy. But that's part of that same fear, that same craziness that so many people live by, because they never question. They never go back and say, you know, I was taught this, or I thought this years ago. Is it still realistic? Do I need to change anything? Most people aren't doing that.
Right, right. Well, listen, Carol, let's go ahead and take a phone call. We've got Kevin from D.C. on the line waiting for us, okay? Let's talk to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Hey, welcome back. I've been kind of looking around for you, man.
Well, it's been kind of off and on. You know, I had to move, and then my I didn't have a desk when I made the move, and then when I did have the desk decided to collapse on me. So it's been kind of an interesting couple of months.
Well, you know, I'm going through an interesting month and a half myself, you know, between getting laid off and separated.
Wonderful.
Yeah. You know, but, hey, it's all good, you know. You just got to keep on plugging away.
What kind of job did you have that you got laid off from?
I'm a computer network engineer.
And where did your job go to India, basically?
Say that again, please.
Did your job go to India, basically?
Well, no, it's just being eliminated altogether, you know. You know, we lost quite a bit of funding because it was a not-for-profit, and they lost major funding from the government, and, you know, that's just one of those things.
You're in a good business, Kevin, so keep
going. And, you know, I got a pretty good severance package, so I'm neither here nor there. Plus, I decided to do some life changes. I'm thinking about getting into teaching.
Getting into teaching?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds very interesting.
You know, I'm also a history buff, and my BA was in, in a history-type major. So I'm thinking about getting into that. And part of the reason is because I'm thinking about, and I've discussed it with Bob, like last night or the night before, of really leaving the country.
Well,
going to Canada?
Going back to the Caribbean. That's where my family's from. You know, you and I have had several conversations before.
Right, right.
You know, I'm from Brooklyn, and, you know, I just think I'm at the point where, you know, this, you know, like the smart rat that I am, I want to leave a sinking ship. You know, I just want to leave a sinking ship.
I'm kind of ambivalent about that, actually. I've got a friend named Tim. Nice guy. I met him through the Bark Cop chat room. And he worked, well, he has been working. He's back in the States for a little while, finishing up college stuff, but he's been working in Japan as a teacher there. And all you really need is a college education, and I think I can fake one. But basically, I've been thinking maybe I should move there because I love Japan. Japan is a wonderful, safe country.
I've been there, too, and it's a great society.
Very expensive.
I'm sorry?
Very expensive.
It all depends on what you mean by expensive. I mean, if you're talking about eating American food, yes, that's very expensive.
Yeah, but
eating Japanese food
is
very cheap.
It's fairly reasonable.
Yeah, but living like a Japanese means eating a sliver of meat with your dinner. That's because, you know, you don't have to eat like an American to have to pay, you know, 30, 40 bucks a pound for meat. You know?
Well, you know, I lived in Japan for a couple of years, so I got used to their food, and I can deal with it. I mean, they have chicken there, and they have soy, you know, soy-based meat and stuff like that, you know, instead of real meat, but... And I need to cut down on my red meat anyway. I mean, crying out loud, that's my health issues.
You remember Beef Bozo?
I'm sorry?
That chain of restaurants in Japan, Beef Bowl?
Well, you know, it's not really... When you have a beef bowl in Japan, it's not really a beef bowl because, like Kara says, beef is like $50 a pound there. But chicken is inexpensive, and they have a lot of fish, a lot of seafood, and it's a healthier diet, basically.
It is. But, you know, it's just, I wanted to say, you know, I've been looking at the news recently, and I thank God Putin is challenging Bush. I think we really do need to get back to the days of the Cold War.
What does that say for things now if we want to go back to the days of the Cold War? What the hell was Putin before he was president of Russia? He was head of the KGB, for crying out loud.
I'd rather, it's better to have two maniacal going at each other than one.
not if you're the can get in the way.
Hey, you know, it's better to have two or three of them out there where they're all kind of bouncing one another.
You know, it's funny. You know, you're talking about that.
I seriously am not, Joe, because when I look at part of, you know, matter of fact, I just came back from the Caribbean the other day, and. You know, there's all of a sudden throughout the third world, there's a whole new hope that, you know, certain countries are now rising up, like India, China, Venezuela, and Russia. You know, and they're thinking about, you know, realigning their trade from the traditional U.S. and getting screwed over and realigning themselves with that country, with those countries.
Yeah, well, you don't necessarily want to be a pawn of China any more than you want to be a pawn of the United States.
No, but at least you can counterbalance. That's the thing. You know, you can put one against the other and cut a better deal for yourself.
Well, I think what I want to do is to build the counterbalances back that we used to have in this country and therefore not have an imperial presidency and therefore start working again with all the people in the world.
Well, hopefully, you know, because I think part of the reason why the United States has gotten into the dictatorship that it has is because it felt it could do whatever it wanted worldwide once they defeated the Soviet Union. Then it trickled in here. Humble the things outside, then you humble the things in here. And if you look at any country that's a somewhat socialist country, like Japan, Sweden, Germany, they got to the point where they feel they could be an empire, and that's when they started getting into the dictatorship. Once they lost that edge in the world, they started coming to their senses and said, empires don't work. And this country has yet to learn that.
And I think you're absolutely right on that. And I'm waiting for the day when everything collapses, although I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. I think it's going to be...
A lot of people in Germany said that. A lot of people in England said that. And, you know, it'll happen. It won't be like this big catastrophic event like what happened in Germany or Japan. Those were extreme cases. But it's going to be something gradual, like probably what happened in Britain where, you know, where you're no longer making things in the country where it was famous for. One time, Britain was the coal and steel manufacturer of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been an open coal manufacturer in Britain in almost 50 years. And one time, Britain was the sugar exporter of the world.
Well, that sugar wasn't grown in Britain, though. That sugar was grown in elsewhere, and they were the shippers. of the rum and the sugar and the
right.
slaves.
And before it was the British, it was the Dutch.
Yeah, well, or right along there with them. I don't know.
And then I ran a shipping business in the late 1400s.
Yeah. Kevin?
I'm 9,000 years old. I don't know if you know that.
Kevin? Is he still here?
I guess, I don't know. I guess not.
Okay.
I guess we lost
well,
him.
Well, Kevin, if you're still listening, I want you to be careful because you have just been through two of the most difficult stressors that people can go through, loss of job and a separation. So I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to take care of yourself mentally and physically to get you through this period because it's tough. It's tough to go through.
Yeah, don't go crazy like I did and start a radio show.
Ah, there you go. I like his idea of teaching. I would love to see more people go into teaching and get into these schools where so few kids graduate and just see if you can make a difference. Maybe you can't, but maybe you can. You know, isn't it worth it?
If I were going to be a teacher, I would be like Sam Kennison from the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. Just scream at you. Just scream at you. What's the answer? Answer!
I don't have the patience. I know I wouldn't be able to do it, but I do applaud those who do.
Well, I wouldn't mind teaching in Japan because it's teaching English and the students are much more polite. You don't have to worry about getting your ass kicked somewhere, you know, down the street.
Or shot.
Oh, you
God.
Know.
Pretty bad
so,
places.
You know, it was funny him talking about Russia, and I was talking with Bob Kincaid before the show started, and he was telling me it was something he had on his show, and apparently what had happened was, and this really kind of cracks me up because it just sounds like something that the neocons would do. Apparently they thought, let's sell Iran plans for nuclear power, for a nuclear weapons plant. But let's screw them up somehow so that they make it and it messes up and they don't know why and they got to go fix it. It will take them longer, you know. And but apparently what happened was that the Russian go-between that we used to sell in the plan looked at the plan and says, ah, there is flaw here. I fix. And he fixes it. So we were actually giving them, you know, the actual, oh, I find flaw. They mess up. Here, I show you now. I do good for a fearless leader.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you do things not because it's the right thing to do, but for some sort of stupid advantage or disadvantage for someone else or whatever. All that plotting and planning apparently doesn't do much good, does it?
I just don't understand their mindset, Carol.
Look at
us
arming
really
and training the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Look what that got us.
Yeah, exactly. It got us Osama bin Laden. It made the Russians look bad, boy.
Right. Sure did. And now who's there? Oh, my.
It's just, you know, and I was talking about this yesterday. It just boggles my mind. And I'm at a point, if you read my blog, I haven't posted much of anything for the last few weeks or so because it's like, there's too much. And so many other guys are doing such a better job. It's like, you know what? It just I can't handle it anymore. And I got to try to look at the bigger picture and get it out of my mind because it just goes
it
drives me crazy.
If you can't handle it for now, that doesn't mean that mood or that feeling will last forever. But it could be that something really creative will come out of that period of gestation or whatever you might want to call it. I call it birth in ideas and stuff like that.
I'm just absorbing.
Absorbing
is the term I use.
When I'm feeling like that, I know there's something big coming, you know.
Well, every time I try to sit down to write something, I just, you know, I get started and I just, I don't like it, and then I drop
it. You may not be able to force it, but one of these days something's going to pop and you're going to go, oh, that's what's been working in the back of my mind. Trust me.
You know, it's interesting, you know, all the big bloggers, now that they've got their stuff, are busy telling everybody how to make their own blog, and, you know, how come your blog sucks, and, you know, how to
where
get popular.
Where are they saying
and,
that? I never heard him say any of that.
And, well, you know, the kind of, Atrios does it kind of facetiously, you know.
Oh, I don't even read him. I think he's such a fake.
But the thing about it is, I was going to write my own rules about that, and one of them, of course, suck up to the big bloggers, you know, these kind of facetious rules. But the other one, and a big rule is, don't read Digby. Because
really?
If you read Hullabaloo and you read Digby's writing, you just give up because he is just so damn good. I'm not, you read his columns and it's like, oh my God, there's so much great information. Don't read Glenn Greenwald either because he's so good. I can't do anything to top this.
But that's the same thing as saying, you know, whatever radio hosts you admire, you can't beat them or you can't do better than them. But you are you, and you have your perspective, and you have your point of view, and that's different from theirs. They can't buy yours.
Oh, I know. It's just, when I read them, I just like, oh my God, I wish I could write that well, that consistently, because with Digby and Greenwald, they write these really, really long, drawn out, well thought out treatises, and I'm just
right.
Like, every three sentences, I'm like, well, my stuff's messed up. And I talk like a fag, and I'm basically tarted.
Well, I learned long ago that comparing myself to other people is a really bad road to be on. So I just try to stick to what I think I can do and what makes sense to me. And you know, sometimes I get response to it, and sometimes.
Well, I try to meet the comparisons a little better. I compare myself to the pigeons across the hall. So compared to them, I'm doing pretty good. Because you know they got to fight it out for you know stuff like that. And then although they're getting plenty because I get to watch them outside in the window. They're screwing like crazy over here.
Oh yeah.
So I get my nice little voyeuristic thrills watching the pigeons or flying rats as Dana called them yesterday. Listen, it's a little bit early for this, but let's go ahead so we can have a little more time after the break. Let's go ahead and take our three quarters of air. We skipped the bottom of the hour break because we have such great conversations, which is what Head On Radio Network is all about, of course. If anybody wants to get in the last 10 or 15 minutes or so, give us a call, 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, the Horn.
This is the Head On Radio Network, the Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox Talk with John Fox. We'll take a look at the tragic death of the Rolling Stones founder, Brian Jones. Was it an accident? A suicide? Or was there just something more to it?
He started pleading. Oh, come on, now, come on, let me go, will ya?
It's not a case that was investigated as a possible homicide.
We did not mean to kill him.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Space shuttle program workers walked off the job on Thursday after they failed to reach an agreement with the United Space Alliance, Jesse Russell reports.
United Space Alliance is NASA's largest contractor at the Kennedy Space Center, and those workers, 570 of them, are now off the job. Represented by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, the employees are unhappy with company proposals concerning health care and wages. According to the IAM, the current Atlantic Space Shuttle mission will not be impacted by the strike, as shuttle recovery workers represented by the union will stay on the job until after landing. Meanwhile, the alliance has said it will bring in non-union replacement workers if the strike is not resolved soon. IAM Local 1061 President Lou Jamieson said that when this contract proposal is compared to other contracts in the aerospace industry, alliance workers are at the bottom. He said the union has given back for 9 years, and enough is enough.
The Bush Supreme Court Thursday struck another blow against unions when it ruled that public unions must get permission from non-members covered by union contracts before spending their agency fees on politics. Agency fees are assessed in some states on people covered by union contracts but who aren't members of unions. The Washington State Supreme Court had ruled the law restricting public union political spending was unconstitutional, but the U.S. Supreme Court overturned it. The case involved Washington State's Education Association. Charles Hasse is president of the union. He says anti-union groups that want to muzzle unions politically are behind this litigation.
An organization called the Evergreen Freedom Foundation, they get their money from individuals and organizations that routinely contribute to anti-union efforts and anti-public education efforts.
Hasse says state courts in Washington will now have to resolve many issues of compliance with the law, including what he says is the worst-case scenario of a catch-22 written into the law.
That's the worst case in this law, that we would be caught in this double bind. You have to figure out ahead of time what you're going to spend in politics and give a refund. And by the way, you're not allowed to figure out what you're going to spend in advance.
Workers and their unions are making a big push to get the Employee Free Choice Act passed in the U.S. Senate next week. A big rally featuring Senator Hillary Clinton and Senator Ted Kennedy is set for Tuesday. The labor law reform making it easier to join unions has already passed the House.
Here is today's economic report. Medicare beneficiaries are being quietly shifted to privatized plans. A new report from the Economic Policy Institute shows that one in four Medicare beneficiaries will be in a private plan by the end of the decade. The majority of those private plans are called fee-for-service, which, unlike Medicare's fee-for-service structure, offer no efficiency gains. Private fee-for-service plans have a 19% markup over the cost of government-provided Medicare.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. I've got my Old Spice and my Aqua Velva. I was just listening to some stuff about Chris Matthews talking about Fred Thompson and talking about how he's got a manly spell. I believe you wrote about that on your MakeThemAccountable.com news service there, Carol Kay. And doesn't Fred Thompson have a manly smell, do you think?
I don't have any idea, and I really don't want to get close enough to the man to find out. But Chris Matthews is just this insane person who, everything to him, the reason why he likes Bush so much is because he likes his swagger. He likes
like this codpiece. Look at that codpiece.
And the mission accomplished venture and things like that. But with Matthews, it's all about him being a manly man and a guy's guy and a tough guy and a this and a that. And it's just so strange.
And it's also so phony. I mean, and you know, Fred Thompson, you know, he like rented this pickup to try to pretend that he's this, you know, big Western tough guy, you know, and he's not. He's an actor.
Lobbyist.
You know, the Republicans love the actors. I mean, Ronald Reagan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Fred Thompson, you know, and we have the comedians. We have Al Franken. Yeah, there we go.
Well, at least they tell the truth.
At least they're funnier, anyway. And Al Franken's a better comedian than any of these guys are actors, anyway. You know, I mean, look, I was talking about this with my roommate the other day. Look at all the actors that were big Republican supporters, and they're not really actors so much as they are movie stars. Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
You know, Heston was a good screen presence, but he wasn't a great actor. On the other hand, we have Paul Newman, who is a great actor.
Yeah.
And Robert Redford, who is a great actor. And Groucho Marx, who was one of the funniest men who ever lived. And given the choice between those two, I'll take those guys day.
Yeah.
Over Charlton Heston and Ronald Reagan, who was never more than a B-movie actor.
There's Kelsey Grammer, Mel Gibson.
Is Mel Gibson a right-winger, or is he just nuts?
I think he's both.
He's got his own little wing somewhere. He's a third winger.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's just got to be very difficult to be conservative. Well, conservative, much less a right winger in Hollywood. And in fact, wasn't there an outfit that got started trying to produce more movies and television shows that were religious oriented or Christian oriented or right wing oriented or all.
Well, I know the Christians have their own little underground video thing. I mean,
oh,
you know,
they?
Videos
that,
about Jesus.
Is
the
that the
coming
same one that produced that so-called documentary that told all the lies about Bill Clinton being a murderer?
Yeah, that was Falwell's thing, and he's probably
answering
that.
I know. Well, isn't that a Christian network?
Yeah, that's one of them. But that was a documentary. These are more like attempts to make actual films about the Second Coming and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
And you know, it's kind of like what's that guy's name? Jack Chick, who distributes those little comic books that you see.
Oh, lordy!
And of course, you know, according to Jack Chick, the only person going to heaven is Jack Chick. He's the only one that's good enough.
You're real lonely.
Well, you know, I'm going to hell because I was Catholic and I had communion. If you've had communion, you're going to hell, according to Jack Chick.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hell too, and there'll be a big red sea on my soul too.
Yeah. You just want to pull your hair out. It's like, how can you be so stupid, and how can you make so much money? Actually, you know how Jack Chick made a ton of money was by selling sea monkeys.
Sea monkeys.
If you remember in the comic books and the magazines, you can order sea monkeys, which are just basically little shrimp.
Really?
And he that was how he made his money. He sold sea monkeys. He was responsible for those damn things.
You mean dry shrimp?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's little like shrimp eggs or something that's in a dry package, and you put them in a thing. And they, you probably never read comic books like I did when I was a kid, but they always had advertisements for sea monkeys, and they had these pictures of like a little king and a queen. And
I read comic books, but that was back in the days before they had advertisements.
Comic books have always had advertisements, haven't they?
No, I beg to differ.
Really? Back in the 40s and 50s and stuff, maybe?
And Nancy and Sluggo and all of those? Uh-uh. There were no advertisements.
Well, if you read the superhero comics in the 60s and stuff, they were chock full
of
advertisements.
By then, I had graduated to... oh, shoot. My brain is just fried today. I don't know what it is. They came out of the Harvard Lampoon, the National Lampoon.
Oh, okay. Oh, I love National
Steve
Lampoon.
Young, by the way. Steve B. Young. Do you get his stuff he posts on Huffington Post?
I only read that like if somebody links to something from there. I try to cut down on how much I read because otherwise I spend like 9 or 10 hours a day reading everything.
Yeah. Well, I do. He's on my mailing list because, and I'm on his mailing list and, you know, stuff. So, but he was one of the originators of the National Lampoon. He worked for the Harvard Lampoon when he was thinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's
a very good
man.
I was like a teenager reading those, and it was, and a lot of stuff I didn't understand back then, and I know a lot better now, but I liked the crazy comics that they would have, and of course I was a teenager, so I was looking for Hooters.
Well, what was so funny was I have siblings who are much younger than I. One sister who's 15 years younger than I am, and when she was growing up, and she watched the Bullwinkle cartoons with us and all of that, you know. And then, you know, 10, 15 years later, they started reprising the Bullwinkle cartoons, and she looked at him and she said, "I had no idea."
Oh yeah.
I had no idea.
When I was a kid, I couldn't stand Bullwinkle. I didn't get it. I thought it was stupid. And now I look at it, this is some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen.
Very clever. And as the main mover behind it, I don't know his name, has said, he said, "I couldn't do that today. Nobody would be able to do that stuff today."
No.
Well, of course, as the Daily Show
The Daily Show does it, but they do it more directly. The Rocky and Bullwinkle was more subtle.
Right. But it was also on network television, where the Daily Show is on the Comedy Channel. So
yeah,
like
you couldn't see NBC doing the Daily Show. They wouldn't be that sophisticated.
They would never do that. But it's like the court jester. You know, the court jester was the only one who was ever allowed to tell the king the truth, and that's why he was funny. Was because he would tell the king the truth. So
Cassandra, modern version of Cassandra. You know, they'll tell the truth, but nobody listens.
Well, that's me. That's me. I am able to foretell the future, and I've done it so many times I can't tell you. I know what's going to happen. I know how things are going to turn out. I tell people how things are going to turn out. They all go, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, you know, and I don't mean to rain on your parade there, Carolyn, but the truth of the matter is it was fairly obvious to anybody with more than three active brain cells. And, you know, I mean, I knew what was going to happen with the war once we started. Once 9/11 happened, I knew we were going to go to war with somebody. I mean, it wasn't that difficult to predict, no offense.
But it goes beyond that. No, it started much earlier. In 1982, I was a systems director. I told my boss, I said, one day there's going to be a computer on everybody's desk. And he laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing he had ever heard. Oh, they're so expensive and I don't know how to type. And you know, most of the men who run the place, most of the managers who are men don't know how to type and blah, 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 blah. 2 years later, it was only 2 years later that he and I were standing in the hall and he looked around and he said, you know, pretty soon there's going to be one of these on everybody's desk. I said, is there an echo in here?
You should have told him at the onset it was going to be filled with porn and he said, what can I get one?
Yeah, right. It's just infuriating that, you know, so many times I can see what's needed. Progressive talk radio is another thing that... you know, there's this huge unserved market out there, and advertisers are just, you know, oh no,
they're certainly ignoring my show.
Do anything with that, and then you know, people don't step up to the gap and make the contributions that they should, such as to the Cup of Joe radio show, to the Head On Network, to make them accountable, and so on. People are so used to getting everything they think for free, but they're actually paying for it in the prices of the products that they buy. Right. But they think they shouldn't have to pay a subscription fee. They think they should just be able to get everything for free.
Well, you know, we got offered some barter, but I don't know what to do with sheep. I could stick them in the house here or something. I don't know. I could sell the wool maybe. Listen, I hate to cut you off, but we're rapidly running out of time here, so I need to say my goodbyes. Carol, it's been great having you on the show again, and I look forward to having you again next Friday. That's makethemaccountable.com, and get on your mailing list, too. Have people get on your mailing list. We need more people.
They can go to the website, and there's a link right at the top of every single page.
There you go. And, if, you know, once you get the mailing list and you get up, I mean, you send me so many items on a daily basis that I just can't read them all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, you know, you also, it's people like us, we're doing the kind of work we're doing because we feel compelled to do it, right?
Right,
and,
absolutely.
Because we're speaking out in the best way that we can.
Right.
All right, Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. Thanks a lot. We'll have you back on next Friday, okay?
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Carol. Okay, that's it for another episode of the Cup of Joe radio show. It has been produced, as always, by the Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid running the board today from the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe radio show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. And, of course, if you're just turning into the show or you wanted to visit or you want to catch the rerun, you can catch it at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. And our good friend Ben Birch hosting it there. It's Friday, so I won't be back till Monday in my new time slot, which will be 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. I think that's right. 11 a.m. Eastern, starting then. Until Monday. You all have a good weekend, and hey, get back to work.
Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Retreat to the carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shawn. I want a cup of Joe. Yeah, da 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 da.
I'm flat on my back. I'll eat a dish of crisps out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin. Or would you rather have him just fill me up with bread? Feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick. Lay it on nice and thin. Open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no more, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. A day after dissolving the unity government, Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas has appointed a new prime minister. Former finance minister Salam Fayyad is an independent. He is in charge of forming a new emergency government. Now completely in control of the Gaza Strip, Hamas today announced it will give amnesty to rival Fatah leadership. An emergency meeting of the Arab League has been scheduled for today to deal with the crisis. Hamas has called on fellow Islamic militant group to release the BBC reporter held captive for 14 weeks. 45-year-old Alan Johnson was the only Western journalist stationed in Gaza. In London, seven British citizens were sentenced today to a total of 136 years in prison on terrorism charges. The men were found guilty of plotting to bomb British and U.S. financial institutions, including the New York Stock Exchange. On Capitol Hill, Senate leaders from both parties say they'll attempt again to breathe life into the moribund immigration bill. Negotiations on the controversial legislation could begin as early as next week. A vote is expected before July 4th. The U.S. Army will hire 25% more mental health professionals to help soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. More than a third of returning troops seek counseling for post-traumatic stress and other problems. The Bush administration is backing away from a promise to veto a spending bill that increases health care for veterans. In New Jersey, the six men accused of plotting to injure troops at Fort Dix have pleaded not guilty. The federal judge in the case promised a speedy trial, perhaps by early October. In California, 10 men have been indicted and 11th arrested for plotting to violently overthrow the communist rulers of Laos. Those indicted are Hmong, an ethnic tribal group long suppressed by communist regimes in Southeast Asia. Officials say further indictments in the case may be issued to some in the California Highway Patrol.